We're going to look at that a little bit tonight. Psalm 62, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 62, we're going to take a break, at least for this week, from the kings of Israel. Lord willing, we'll pick back up next week with the kings of Israel. And so Psalm 62 tonight. Psalm 62. Let's begin reading in Psalm 62. The Bible says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Now, Jeduthun was a Levite. He was an instructor. He was a chief singer. And so this psalm was given to him specifically, probably to put to music, probably to sing. In verse number 1, the Bible says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And I want you to notice the last part of verse 6. We saw it also in verse number 2, and we see it again here in verse number 6. The last part of verse 6, it says, I shall not be moved. That's the title of our message tonight, I Shall Not Be Moved. The psalmist, David, and we don't know specifically the time frame here, we don't know specifically what he's dealing with, but we know, just as with many psalms, he is dealing with some trouble. He is dealing with individuals in verse number 3. He says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Verse number 4, he says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And in all of that, he says, look, I am not going to be moved. In verse number 2, he says, I shall not be greatly moved. In verse number 6, he says, I shall not be moved in God. And why? Why? And he's already given us reasons why he's not going to be moved. But in verse number 7, he says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. And every time I read Psalm 62 or other passages that are similar to Psalm 62, but every time I read those two verses, verse 2 and verse 6, I think about the Apostle Paul. My mind is turned to the Apostle Paul. So, real quickly, just by way of introduction tonight, I'd like for you to hold your place here in Psalm 62. We're going to come back. This is where we're going to spend all of our time tonight. But I do want us, real quickly, to go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Because I'm always brought to this verse and this passage when I read those two verses, when it says, I shall not be greatly moved, and I shall not be moved, I think of the Apostle Paul. My mind goes to the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 24, the Bible says, but none of these things, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He is speaking to the church at Ephesus, probably one of the last times he will ever see them. At the end of the chapter, he's going to hug their necks, he's going to cry with them, and see their face no more. But in verse number 24, he says, but none of these things move me, He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I have no idea what's going to happen in Jerusalem. Verse 22, he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I don't know what's going to happen there. Probably bonds and afflictions. But he says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to move me from God's calling upon my life. Nothing's going to move me from what God has commissioned me to do. He says, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, nothing's going to move me from that ministry. Nothing's going to move me from that course of joy that God has given me. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because when he says, none of these things move me, I want us to see real quickly some of the things that could have moved the Apostle Paul. Some of the things that could have caused the Apostle Paul to say, you know what, I'm going to hang it up, I'm going to go back home, I've had enough, I've done enough, and I'm going to go back home. Notice verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. And by the way, when I hear some of these preachers talk today about health and wealth and about how you're not right with God if you're not healthy, and how the Bible speaks all the time that we're constantly supposed to be healthy, again, I want them to sit down face to face with the Apostle Paul. Was there anyone else that was probably more right with God than the Apostle Paul after he got saved and after Jesus Christ personally commissioned him to be the apostle to the Gentiles? And he says in verse 27, in verse 26, he talks about all the perils. And in verse 27, he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And I'm always moved to those two passages when I think about this idea of not being moved. And I want to try to encourage us tonight here in Psalm 62 about this truth and about this fact of I shall not be moved. And right now, as we're going through this time in our lives and this time in our nation, right now is no time for God's people to be moved. Right now is no time for God's people to stray away and to be moved and to be to drift, if you will, from the anchor to which they have been moored for so long. Now is no time to drift from that. Now is no time to fear. Now is no time to hunker down and think, you know what? God has forsaken me. He absolutely hasn't. And David said, look, I don't care what happens, I'm not going to be moved. And I pray that tonight, no matter what happens, that we would say, I am not going to be moved. And so let's look at some truths here that we find in Psalm 62. Let's pray and ask God to teach us and help us tonight and give us direction. And then we'll get right into the message. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We're so thankful for the truths that you give us in your word, the truths that undergird us, the truths that support us, the truths that embolden our faith, the truths that help us to trust you. Thank you for the example of David who, when he went through a trial, when he went through a trouble, he trusted you. And he said, I shall not be moved. And so, Father, may that be our battle cry tonight as Christians, as members of Maranatha Baptist Church. May that be our cry that we would say, I shall not be moved. I'm not going to stop trusting God. I'm not going to stop having faith. I'm not going to start thinking that God doesn't know what's going on. I am not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved to a position of fear. Father, we know that you said you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And God, help us not to be moved away from that truth tonight. Father, please teach us. Please help us. Father, be with those tonight that are sick. Be with, Lord, I want to lift up specifically Miss Terry Lynn to you tonight. And I pray that you'd give her family comfort as only you can, as only your Holy Spirit can give as the great comforter. Father, please help her tonight. Help her family. Father, may she have opportunity in the days ahead to witness to family members that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. May you give open doors. May you give her boldness and courage to speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you tonight. Please teach us and help us. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, tonight, and we're going to look at three different truths, and we're going to develop all three of those a little bit tonight. But the first truth that I want to see tonight is this. I want us to see the exclusivity of God's position. The exclusiveness of God's position. And this is why David, the psalmist David, could say, I shall not be moved, because of the exclusive position that God held in his life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. In verse 1, he says, my soul waiteth upon God. But notice verse 2. And this is how exclusive God is and God ought to be in our lives. He only. That's pretty clear. No ambiguity there. He alone, nobody else, he only, the Bible says, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse number 6, again, it says, he only. Not somebody else, not something else. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, verse 7 says, and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. It's not anywhere else. It's not in the government. I'm telling you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about how quickly our nation and how quickly people so-called, or people who have said for so long that they're not going to trust in the government, I'm concerned about how quickly we have turned to the government as our God, as our Savior. Government, save us. Now, I understand it's the government that has pretty much shut us down, and I get all that. There's a little difference. There's a little different nuance there with what's going on right now. But my goodness, friend, tonight, the government is not my Savior. God is. The government is not my defense. The government is not my rock. The government is not my salvation. The government isn't what I am moored to so that I'll never be moved. I am moored, I am anchored to God, and that's what keeps me from being moved. In verse 6, he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. By the way, I need to stay away from that tonight. The Bible says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. So, as we think about the exclusivity of God's position, let's look at what the passage says. It says, first of all, that he only is my rock and my refuge. The Bible says here, and this isn't deep, it's right here in the passage, but the Bible says that he only, him alone, nobody else, nothing else, he alone is my rock and my refuge. Verse number 2, verse number 6, and verse number 8. Verse 2 again, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 6, he only is my rock and salvation. Verse 8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Stop and think about it. Stop and chew on it for a little bit. Stop and meditate on that a little bit. So when we think about how exclusive God's position ought to be in my life, and we know that the Bible says in Colossians 1:18 that in all things He might have the preeminence. Look, He ought to have that exclusive position. But the reason that He does is because He only is my rock and my refuge. He's the only thing that I am safely tied to as my rock. He's the only thing that I can safely run into as my refuge, as my high tower, as my sanctuary. He's my refuge, the place that I run to when the storms come, the place that I run to when all the problems, when everything is swirling around us. He only is my rock and my refuge. Secondly, as we talk about the exclusiveness of God's position, He only is my salvation and my strength. Not only is He only my rock and my refuge, but He only is my salvation and my strength. Verse number 2, again, and we're going to pound these verses quite a bit, but verse 2, verse 6, and verse number 7. He only is my rock and my salvation. There is no other salvation in any other. Acts 4:12 tells us that. Spiritually, physically, He financially, emotionally, He only is my salvation. We try to find salvation, emotional salvation, financial salvation, spiritual salvation, physical salvation. We try to find it everywhere else except in God. And the Bible says, He only is my salvation. Verse 6, He only is my rock and salvation. Again, verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my what? Strength. The rock of my strength. We're talking about the exclusiveness of God's position. He only is my rock and my refuge. He only is my salvation and my strength. Thirdly, He only is my defense and my deliverance. He only is my defense and my deliverance. He's the one that fights for me. He's the one that's my fortified city. He's the one that's the fortified wall that defends me. And by the way, this book right here is the fortified wall that defends me. You notice what verse 12 says? He says, "Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." You know how I know what to do and what not to do? It's by His Word. That's my defense. That's my safe haven. That's my safe place, is in the Word of God. He only is my defense and my deliverance. Fourthly, He only is my God and my glory. Verse number 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. We don't glory in anything else. What did the Apostle Paul say? If I'm going to glory in anything, I'm going to glory in the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to glory in my own strength. I'm not going to glory in who I am. I'm going to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my glory. He is my God. The last part of verse 7, it says, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Nothing else. It's not in another person. It's not in a political leader. It's not even in a spiritual leader for that matter. It's in God. He only is my God and my glory. And then lastly, number 5, He only is my trust and my triumph. He only is my trust and my triumph. You want to have victory? You want to triumph through what we're going through right now? We're only going to do it in God. Verse number 8, it says, trust in Him, what's the next 3 words? At all times. Sometimes, occasionally, when things are going well. No, at all times. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Verse 10, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Trust in Him, not them. Trust in Him, not riches. See, here's the problem. So many people for so long have trusted in riches. And now, it's very shaky. What does Proverbs say? That riches make themselves wings and fly away? And that's happening right now. That's why we can't trust in riches. If they increase, praise His name. If they increase, thank You, Lord. I'm going to give back because You've increased me. But I'm not going to trust in it. That's not going to be where my trust lies. And I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, right now at this moment, their trust is a little shaky right now. A lot of churches are wanting to know, can I get in on this government relief act? Can I get a small business loan? And some of the churches are doing it. That's bad. That's not going to end up well. To put my trust in government is not going to end up well. But right now, their trust is a little shaky. Now, you might say, Pastor, are you saying a small business shouldn't get a loan from the government? I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about churches. Because when the government gets their tentacles inside your institution, they're never going to take them out. And our trust needs to be in God. And that's what verse number 10 says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You know where our victory comes? It comes from God. He is my trust and He is my triumph. He is my rock, He is my refuge. He is my salvation, He is my strength. He is my God, He is my glory. He is my defense, and He is my deliverance. That's how exclusive His position is. And because of that, David said, I shall not be moved. But if that's not where my trust is, then when times like this come, I'm going to be easily moved. Because I'm going to tell you, right now would be a good time for people to be moved. To be moved away from certain things because things aren't great right now. But David said, look, it doesn't matter what happened. The Apostle Paul said, it doesn't matter what comes. None of these things move me. None of these things are going to move me away. David said, I shall not be moved. He said, I shall not greatly be moved. Why? Because of the exclusiveness of God's position in David's life. Number two, we see the exclusivity of God's position. But secondly tonight, we see the excellence of God's power. We see the excellence of God's power. So, David could say, I shall not be moved, first of all, because of the exclusiveness of God's position in his life. But secondly, because of the excellence of God's power. It is more excellent. Let me give you several things here. First of all, it is more excellent than slander. It is more excellent than status. Verse number 9. It is more excellent than slander. Verses 3 and 4. We're going to go back and read these in just a moment. It is more excellent than status. Verse number 9. It is more excellent than stuff. There's your big word tonight. It's more excellent than stuff. Verse number 10. It's more excellent than storms. The whole song. Because that's what David's going through right now. He's going through a storm. His power is more excellent than slander. His power is more excellent than status. His power is more excellent than stuff. His power is more excellent than storms. Verses 3 and 4. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? David begins to speak about what's going on in his life at this very moment. Someone is slandering him. Someone has come against him. He said, ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Notice what it says. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Look, his power is more excellent than slander. And I'll say this, if you stay at it long enough, somebody will slander you. Somebody will second guess you. somebody will speak ill about you. By the way, as it says here, someone will speak nice to you to your face, but inside they'll curse you. But look, God's power is more excellent than that. God's power is greater than anything anybody can say against you. God's power is greater than any strategy that someone brings against you, any deceit that someone brings against you, any lie that someone brings against you. Verse number 4 says, they delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. It is more excellent than slander. Secondly, it is more excellent than status. Verse number 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Doesn't matter if you have great position, great status, or if you're someone of low degree, it doesn't matter. God's power is greater. God is greater. His power is more excellent than status. His power is more excellent than stuff. Verse number 10. We read it just a second ago. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Notice verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That power belongeth unto God. The excellency of God's power. It is more excellent than slander, than status, than stuff. It's more excellent than storms. The storm that David is going through in Psalm 62, God's power was more excellent than any of it. And David trusted in that power. David trusted in the exclusive position that God had in his life. And David trusted in the excellent power that God had demonstrated and manifested over and over and over again in his life. Look, my wife and kids sing a song, No Time to Doubt Him Now. Now is no time to start doubting God. Now is no time to start thinking that God doesn't know what He's doing, that God's not in control, that God doesn't have power, that God is weak. Now is no time to start thinking that. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. He is omnipotent. That means all powerful. There's no one more powerful. There is no one equally powerful. He is more powerful. So we see the exclusivity of God's position. We see the excellence of God's power. And then thirdly tonight, we see the expectation of God's people. Okay, if He has an exclusive position in my life, okay, and if I'm trusting in the excellency of His power, if I'm trusting in His power and nothing else, if I'm trusting in Him and His position in my life and nothing else, nobody else, I'm not trusting money, I'm not trusting a person, I'm not trusting anything else, I'm only trusting Him. What should I expect? Notice verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. The expectation of God's people. Three things here and we're done tonight. Here's what I can expect. When I wait, I shall not be moved. Verses 1 and 5. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Verse 5, my soul. Okay, David is speaking to his soul. My soul, I'm speaking to you. Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. When I wait, I shall not be moved. Secondly, when I trust, I shall not be moved. Verses 8 and 10 again. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Verse 10, trust not. And he goes on to speak of the things that we ought not trust in. When I wait on Him. And by the way, that word wait doesn't necessarily just mean I sit back and do nothing. It means I serve. It's the idea of being a waiter or a waitress. When I just keep serving, when I just keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, instead of sitting down and doing nothing, when I continue to wait and I continue to serve and I continue to trust Him, my expectation can very simply be that I am not going to be moved. And then thirdly, when I pour, I shall not be moved. When I wait, when I trust, and when I pour, I shall not be moved. Pour what? Verse number 8, when I pour out my heart before God. He says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Right now, our hearts ought to be poured out to God. God, stop this virus. God, help us as a people. God, help me as a Christian to draw closer to You, not further away, not to get comfortable in the situation that we're in right now, not to get comfortable just taking a break. No. Lord, help me to draw closer to You. Help me to draw nigh to You. Help me to draw nigh to You so that You'll draw nigh to me. When I wait, when I trust, and when I pour my heart out to God, the Bible says here, according to the example that we have in David, I shall not be moved. Why? Because that's what David did. David trusted, David waited, and David poured his heart out to God. And what was the result? He wasn't moved. God help us tonight. We see how exclusive God's position ought to be in our lives. And let me ask us tonight, does God, right at this moment, at 7:45 on Wednesday night, April the 8th, 2020, right here in Gates, Tennessee, does God have the exclusive position in my life? He is my only God. He's my only rock. He's my only refuge. He's my only glory. He's my only salvation. He's my only strength. He's my only trust. He's my only triumph. He's it. Am I trusting tonight in the excellence of His power? He has power to bring me through this. He has power to bring my family through this. He has power to provide my financial needs through all of this. And look, I know tonight there are folks in our own family, church family, that are affected right now financially because of this. Their jobs are on hold for the time being, or their jobs have been diminished tremendously for the time being. That means less income. Can I understand that tonight? And that's when I need to be pouring my heart out to God. Say, God, provide. God, I'm going to trust You. God, I'm not going to stray from You. God, I'm not going to doubt You. No time to doubt You now. I've trusted You all along the way. I'm not going to start doubting now. The excellency of His power. And then what can I expect as God's child? The expectation of God's people when we wait and when we trust. And when we pour our hearts out to God, we can expect that we're not going to be moved. By the way, I can say this too. We can expect that He's going to answer. We can expect that He's going to provide. We can expect that He's going to give power. He's going to give courage. He's going to give strength. He's going to give salvation. He's going to give refuge. He's going to be my rock. He's going to give me triumph. He's going to give me the victory. He's going to deliver me. He's going to give me glory. Because I've waited, and I've trusted, and I've poured my heart out to God. The Apostle Paul said, look, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. No time to doubt Him now. No time to second guess Him now. No time to be fearful. And by the way, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we shouldn't be cautious and careful. I think my skin is going to just burn off because of all the hand sanitizer I've used and that you have used in the past 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not saying don't be careful and don't be cautious, but I am saying this tonight. We ought not live with a spirit of fear right now. Yes, we ought to be cautious. And yes, we ought to stay home as much as we possibly can and as much as we are allowed to. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to live with a spirit of fear. When I'm in the grocery store and the lady, or excuse me, the elderly gentleman walks beside me with plastic gloves and a mask on, I'm not going to fear that. By the way, I'm glad he's got it on. I'm not going to fear that. I'm not going to go cower in the corner and say, oh my goodness, he probably has the coronavirus. He's going to give it. No, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to stay at home as much as I can. But my goodness, now is no time to doubt him. Now is no time to walk away from him. Now is no time to live with a spirit of fear. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen it on post, and I've seen people. We have a nation full of Christians who are living in fear right now. That's not how we're supposed to live. And again, I'm not talking about not being cautious. I'm not talking about being anything else but cautious. But I'm not going to live in fear, because I have a God. And I know there may be some folks, maybe even some visitors that are watching, and they might make the comment, well, Pastor, if you get the coronavirus, are you still going to say that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to live in a spirit of fear. Because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't have to live in fear. Cautious, yes. Careful, absolutely. Careful with those that are most vulnerable, absolutely. That's why for the past 3 weeks we haven't had any elderly folks here. Why? Because we're being careful. And I know there are some that are smiling like, yeah, he doesn't think I'm elderly. No, we haven't had any elderly folks here. That's for a reason. I'm glad they're staying home. But you know, even our elderly folks, I don't think they're living in fear. They're staying home and being cautious, but they're not living in fear. And now it's no time for us to start doubting him. I shall not be moved. Dear friends, let's not be moved. Let's keep staying close to God. This is not a time to look, I said this last week. Right now is no time to be binge-watching Hollywood movies. That's what the world tells us to do right now. Hey, we got all this extra time. Need to watch all of these episodes, all these series, all these Hollywood movies, and all these Hollywood TV programs. Now is not the time to be doing that. Now is the time to be in God's Word and praying and communing and studying with our family and spending more time in the Word and more time in prayer and more time with God. Because he has an exclusive position in my life. And by the way, he has all the power. And if we want to get through this, where do we need to go to? Not Hollywood. If we want this to stop tomorrow, then we need to be on our knees pouring our heart out to him, because he's the one that can stop it. Hollywood can't do anything but corrupt our families and ruin our families. Anyway, I'm done. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. God, help us. Please help. Father, I thank you for our church family and how careful and how cautious we have been over these past few weeks, and I pray that we'll continue to do so. And Father, I pray that we'll continue to stay close to you. We'll continue to draw nigh to you. We'll continue to trust you. And Father, I have no doubt that our church family, I have no doubt that's what we're doing right now. We're trusting you. We're waiting on you. We're pouring our hearts out to you. Father, now is no time for us to doubt you, and I don't believe any of us are. But I pray that you would remind us of that truth tonight. You only are our salvation and our strength, our refuge and our rock. And we could go through the whole alphabet tonight, Lord, and you only are all of those adjectives to us tonight. Father, help us as we go to our time of prayer. Father, please intercede on our behalf tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help us in a wonderful way. Father, be with those that are sick. Be with those that are struggling. Lord, I pray for those that their jobs have been diminished a little bit, even put on hold for now. And Father, I do pray that you'd provide for them financially. Father, I pray that you'd provide for them in a miraculous way. And Lord, I pray that we'd pour our hearts out to you right now and just trust you. And Father, I pray that we would see you miraculously answer. We love you, Lord. Give us safety as we go to our homes tonight. Bring us back together on Sunday. Help us to be prepared for a wonderful Resurrection Sunday, a wonderful Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection, the victory over sin, death, and the grave. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a great time on Sunday. And Father, we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's divide up. Families actually...